Sugar operations at Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Company on Maui are winding down. Back in January, the state's last sugar plantation announced plans to close down by the end of the year. We were there for what will be the final harvest and have this report. The second you hop into Mark Lopes' truck, you know he works in the cane fields. His dashboard is covered in a layer of brown dust, and splatters of red dirt are dried on the windshield. We drive out to Field 704, where Lopes and his crew set a cane fire in the early hours of the morning. By noon, much of the sugar is cleared by large haul trucks, like this one in front of us, that's getting ready to head back to the mill to unload.
They'll drive right up to the windrow. They'll load the hauler, truck will pull out, go down to the factory and load the sugar cane.
Lopes is the harvest manager at HCNS and has been doing this most mornings for the past 35 years. Now, with HCNS closing down its sugar operations, he's not sure what he'll be doing next.
Well, it's kind of up in the air. If you work for a company that long, and then it's almost like starting over again. You know, you'll start for another company and... You know, we're the last surviving sugar plantation, too, you know, so that's it for sugar in Hawaii, yeah.
Its parent company, Alexander and Baldwin, started harvesting cane on Maui 145 years ago. But the company had been financially struggling for decades, reporting agricultural losses of $30 million last year. Back in January, about 650 employees remained. That number has quickly dwindled down to 385.
It's really hard for them, you know, like one of my supervisors, you know, he's been here from right after high school, you know, and you know, he's been here 20 plus years. And you got some people that, you know, husband, wife, and kids work here. So it's a big change for them, and it's hard. I mean, you know, and everybody's pretty much like family. You know, everybody worked with either their parents or their brothers or sisters or cousins, you know.
The company is hoping to ease the transition for workers with a four-person team that's assisting with what comes next. One of them is Lori Terikawachi.
Basically, we want them to know that we're there, we're thinking about them, we care, and we're there if they need any help or assistance.
Every time there's a success story, Lori and her team ring an old-fashioned bell hanging outside their office. So far, that's happened 92 times. About 30 others have decided to retire.
It's sad. It's sad. Yeah, it's a turning point in history.
For another 44 workers, today will be their last day on the job. The rest will stay on until HCNS finishes its last harvest by mid-December. Molly Solomon for HPR News. Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Company is closing operations by the end of the year. The legacy of sugar has touched many lives in Hawaii. Before the final harvest is in, we'll hear from some of those voices. We recently spent some time in Maui and have one of those stories. Tucked away in upcountry Maui on the lower slopes of Haleakala, Dorothy Pyle meets me outside her home in Makawao.
But by building the house back here and putting it up on poles, this is what we get.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is incredible.
We take in the view from her porch that looks out toward the West Maui Mountains, everything from the Kihei Shore to Kahului. She spent a lot of time out here, watching sunsets, airplanes, and looking out at Hawaii's last 35,000 acres of sugar.
You know, from a sugar point of view, it's a tragedy because it's been green forever. And it's getting browner and browner and browner, and pretty soon it's going to be all brown.
Pyle spent more than 35 years teaching Hawaiian history at the University of Hawaii Maui College. She's lived in the island since 1967, met her husband Bill here, and sugar was always at the root of everything, even her house. The sanded slabs of redwood actually came from leftover molasses crates that floated across the Pacific. They're one of the last remnants of the Pa'ia Mill, which closed on Maui in 2000. Bill was a longtime employee at HCNS who spent weeks waist-deep in 30-year-old molasses, taking apart these crates to create the foundation of their home.
So this is 120-year-old redwood that you can't find anywhere anymore, and it's from the sugar mill.
Before that, she and Bill lived in a plantation home in Pu'unene. The camps, now long gone, were some of the first homes for waves of immigrants to central Maui. Dorothy says the place would erupt in festivities once a year after the annual harvest was complete.
So they would have this big, huge plantation-wide party that they called their harvest home, the harvest has come home party. And it was a plantation-wide kind of thing for the employees as well as the supervisors. It was really amazing. It was a lot of fun.
Looking out at the remaining fields, Dorothy points to the smokestacks below.
You see the smoke blowing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can see it there.
So every day, that's actually one of our weather things, because we can tell every day whether it's windy down there or not, whether it's trade winds or Kona, because of the way the smoke's blowing in the smokestacks.
All of these are little things that Dorothy will soon find missing in her life. The sounds, the smells, the people.
So there is that nostalgia about that community life. It's changing us forever, because I will never see 35,000 acres of agriculture there again. It just won't happen. And so the whole feel of the island, that flying in over these fields and driving through them when you're going to Lahaina, never going to be again.
For now, Dorothy and Bill will enjoy the last few months of green sugarcane, taking in the view from their porch while it's still there. Molly Solomon for HPR News. Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Company will close its operations by the end of the year. For many, the industry was more than just a place to work. It represented an entire way of life. We recently visited Maui and spoke with residents and workers for this report. Robert Lu'uai opens the door to the Pu'unene Mill for one of the last times. The VP of Factory Operations has been working at HCNS on Maui for more than 30 years.
When I first started, it was 13 mills, 1983, and we're the last of the Mohicans right now, for the end of the year.
Inside the building, it's loud. The ground vibrates as a conveyor belt above us carries freshly cut cane through a wash cycle. Every gear and piece of machinery is covered in a layer of brown dust, and a sweet, slightly burnt smell permeates the building. All of these things, Lui says, he'll miss.
Doesn't feel too good, but life goes on, you know. Kind of saw it coming. The valley already looks different. You know, used to be green, now brown. You know, hopefully I find something, but just, you know, next stage of my life.
Sugar has reshaped life in Hawaii for more than a century. Dorothy Pyle is a retired history professor at Maui Community College. She says when Western whalers arrived in the islands in the 1800s, the Kingdom of Hawaii saw an opportunity for trade. But unfortunately, their arrival also brought unintended consequences.
With all the Westerners came all the diseases. And the population starts to decline. And what had been very full land, you know, full of people living a subsistence life, now there's going to be empty land.
That empty land created room for sugar. Plantations in the islands began to grow and became big business after the Kingdom of Hawaii reached a deal with the United States, removing tariffs from Hawaiian sugar exported to the U.S.
It grew and grew through the 1880s up to the 1890s period of time. And sugar is very labor intensive. Then it took a lot of hands, you know, the cutting and the planting and the hauling and everything else. So it made sense for the sugar industry and the Kingdom of Hawaii to look for people from the outside.
That need for labor brought immigrants from Asia, shaping the unique ethnic makeup of the islands. Some were likely the ancestors of Terry Freitas Gorman. She's the president of the Maui Native Hawaiian Chamber of Commerce.
Actually, my ethnic heritage is what I call plantation pedigree, right? So I'm almost in the order that they came. I'm Chinese, Portuguese, Japanese, and then part Native Hawaiian as well.
A Wailuku girl, Gorman grew up encompassed by sugarcane. Some of her memories from small kid times include running in the fields and hearing the crackle of cane burns at night.
You know, we call it Maui snow, right? But the ash would fall out from the sky. And, you know, you just knew they were burning cane. It was just part of life. You didn't really question it.
Gorman remembers growing up in a simpler time when Maui was still a sleepy agricultural town. Even the smell of molasses brings her back.
There's a word in Brazilian Portuguese that it's called saudades, and it means kind of a bittersweet memory. It's bitter because you kind of miss it, but it's sweet because it has such wonderful feelings associated with it. So whenever I would come home to Maui from college or whatever, after traveling, that That really distinctive smell of the molasses being processed, it really created that feeling of saudades in me.
Pua Kanto also has strong memories tied to sugar. She's a Hawaiian Homes Commissioner who now lives in upcountry Maui. As a young girl, she grew up in the plantation camps in Pu'unene. The camps, now long gone, were some of the first homes for waves of immigrants to central Maui. Her father, a machinist, would spend his days making intricate tools in the mill, whose smokestacks still loom over the valley. They still carried memories for her on a recent visit.
I walked by there, and it was tough, because I envisioned where I used to come and pick up my dad, and, you know, I could see him walking out with the rest of them, and hard work and good work, you know, good people.
It'll be hard to accept for many, like Kanto, who have considered sugar a part of their identity. She wonders what will happen to the remaining workers once the mill shuts down later this year.
As for the future, we'll have to see. But when the final close down days for HCNS does happen, it's going to be a lot of cheery-eyed folk.
Kanto says she'll be one of them. Before we leave, she reaches into her purse and hands me a bottle from one of the last batches of Maui brand cane sugar. She tells me to hold on to it. It'll be a part of history soon. Molly Solomon for HBR News. The last remaining sugar mill in Hawaii wrapped up its final harvest yesterday. Hundreds of workers, families, and community leaders gathered at Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Company to say goodbye to a crop that shaped the islands. 61-year-old Furman Domingo climbs up the side of a sugarcane hauler for the last time. The haul truck driver has been working at HCNS for the past 40 years.
From 76 to 2016. I came here when I was 18. I came from the Philippines. So I came to the company, joined the company. Then I started harvesting. It was fun working out there, but we at the end, so I don't know what to do later.
Domingo fires up the engine, and the truck slowly rumbles toward the mill, its tires churning through thick mud. It stops at the base of a conveyor belt, and a giant crane hooks the final load of Maui sugarcane. Cheers break out for the hundreds of workers standing nearby.
It's done! It's just an emotional thing, just realizing that it's going to end.
Mechanic Billy Cavillo watches the final hauler from the sidelines. He whips out his cell phone and records the historic moment. Next to him is 59-year-old Robert Lopes, another mechanic at the mill.
A lot of these people I see more than my family. And, you know, we're not going to see each other no more, so, you know, other than passing by, you know. So I think for me that's the hardest thing. You know, all my friends I made here throughout the years, that's the hardest thing.
More than 500 people came to witness the last harvest day. Many, including Governor Ige, have personal ties to Hawaii's plantation legacy.
My grandparents immigrated from Japan to work in the plantations more than 100 years ago, like so many others from the Philippines, China, Portuguese. And it really was centered around the plantation.
Ige says the state supports Alexander and Baldwin's plan to keep HCNS lands and agriculture. The company currently has about 140 acres of biofuel crops in the ground. A&B also recently expanded its cattle pasture land to 4,000 acres. Back at the mill, retired field worker Howard Scott Pereira came back to say his final goodbyes.
I work over here about 15 years. Well, I thought this place would close up. I'm sorry for the people that, you know, not going to get a job and all that. You know, it's very hard nowadays.
The 78-year-old brought his daughter, Colleen, who says the story of sugar is what brought her family to Hawaii.
Our families came when it was a territory to work the plantations. Because if you were born and raised, you know that that's why you were here. So I'm glad he got an invitation so we could come.
The remaining workers will finish processing the final harvest this week. The last shipment of sugar, a little more than 30,000 tons, is scheduled to ship out on Wednesday. Molly Solomon for HBR News.